welcome to the All Things Overlanding podcast. My name is Fletch, and I'll be your host. Are you ready for some great overlanding content? Then let's get into it. Hey everybody, Fletch from All Things Overlanding here. On today's episode of the vlog slash podcast, I've got a very special guest. And I just wanted to kind of record a little intro outro for you guys, so to give you a little bit more context on my guest. Gentleman's name is Cody Ash, and he is actually kind of the way that I got into overlanding. Back about 4 or 5 years ago in like 2016, I was just literally finding overlanding on YouTube and kind of Googling it and finding Facebook groups. And I found a group called Midwest Overlanders, which we're going to talk more about here in the interview in a second. But Cody started that. It's a little over 5,000 members now, I believe. So it's grown quite a bit, but it is a great group of folks that are into the same things here in the Midwest. So if you aren't already a part of that group and you're in the Midwest, definitely go search on Facebook for Midwest Overlanders and join that group. I'm in there. Cody's in there. There's a ton of people in there and they're all super helpful. They take trips. They do cool things together. So if you're looking for like-minded people to hang out with, definitely check them out. I'll put a description down in the link below. I'll put a link down in the description below. That's better. So if you want to find them easily, I'll put a link straight to the group so you can find it. There's also a classified section and a purely off-road section. So if you're more into rock crawling and off-roading, there's also a group for that. And Cody runs all those groups. So definitely check those out down in the description. And thanks in advance to my guest Cody for stopping by. And I hope you guys enjoy. Hey everybody, welcome to the show. This is Fletch, your host from All Things Overlanding. And on today's show, we have a very special guest. It's a buddy of mine named Cody Ash. And he is actually how I got into overlanding, believe it or not. So welcome, Cody.
Hey, thanks your for phone. Having me.
Yeah, no problem. How long has it been? It's been probably 4 years since we met?
So this year will mark 5 years for Midwest Overlanders. So.
Okay. And I got my Xterra
4.5 years or so. Yeah,
just over 4 years ago. So yeah, and this kind of the funny part of that for those of you watching, I had never met Cody before, and there was a couple other guys, Jacob and Adam, that were coming out with us, and they literally posted on this Facebook group that I had just joined, and they were like, "Hey, we're gonna go to Hoosier National Forest and go camping, go overlanding." And I was like, "I don't know what that is, but it sounds awesome. I'm gonna go." And my wife was like, "You don't know any of these people?" And I'm like, "No, I've never met them." And we just met in the woods and it was great. It was actually, they didn't murder me. We had a lot of fun.
Yep.
And there'd been a lot of rain. There was some flooding and stuff. So that was actually a really fun trip.
Yeah, it was good.
Yeah. So cool. So tell us about Midwest Overlanders. I can, I told you before we started, I've got your stuff pulled up here. So I'll share my screen quick. And then, you're almost at 5,000 members, Midwest Overlanders. That's impressive.
Yeah, it's getting up there. It's a little crazy. It's a little overwhelming, to be honest. But just to kind of go off that story that you were talking about, Jacob, he's actually the only person that I've known in real life prior to meeting any of the people that I now camp with on a regular basis. Like everybody else I've met through this group, and it's kind of a cool experience.
Yeah, that's really cool. And you're right. I mean, and here's the thing too. If this is a little overwhelming for you, you've got multiple projects here, which we'll go through in more detail.
Yeah. So, it's expanded a little bit over the years.
Yeah. So you're like the godfather of Midwest overlanding, at least as far as I'm concerned.
Oh man. And I kind of hate that too. Cause people always come to me with questions and I'm like, man, I'm just, you've camped with me a few times now. And if anything, I'm about as basic as it gets.
Right.
We have this term XBOAF, and it's just kind of a term making fun of ourselves because we put all this time and money into our vehicles and we set them up to go and explore and do all these fabulous off-roading things with them. Yep. And half the time we just go camp for a weekend in the woods and we never even put it in 4-high. So,
yeah, especially not in Hoosier National Forest. There's nothing.
Yeah, exactly. And that's why usually when I post those trips, I'll be like, hey, we're going camping, not like, oh, we're going on this awesome adventure.
Right. There's no rock crawling or anything in there.
Let's call it what it is. We're camping and we're having fun, and really names don't even matter.
Yeah. I mean, that you're definitely right about that. And it is a lot of fun, and there's generally a lot of people there. But I'm thinking back to a couple of the coolest overlanding trips I've ever taken were the Manistee trip,
Which, how many rigs showed up to that?
Oh gosh, that was
like 20. It was a nightmare. Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Huge. So when I plan trips like this, and this is definitely probably the most overwhelming part of doing anything like this.
Yeah.
It's kind of like hosting events like this. That's that picture right there. That's from the
trip. That was it, right?
We had like what 10 people confirm they were going. When we get there, there's like 23 rigs that show up.
Yeah.
And like we're all coming from all over the Midwest. We're coming, you know, this is what, a 6-7 hour drive for us.
Yeah.
And then to an area that I've never been to, I've never explored. I'm like sitting here on Google Earth and Google Maps and trying to plan these routes out and stuff.
Right.
And then now we double the amount of vehicles that's with us. Like, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
And it was kind of after that point, I was like, okay, I think we're going to have to chill out a little bit, and right, we're going to have to do more private events if we're going to do anything large like that.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But we've done all kinds of cool things like that. Like, we did the Manistee trip, gone out to Moab, went out through Canyon Lands National Park and all that.
Yeah.
We've been down through Land Between the Lakes, Red River Gorge. We did the Dirt Devil. That was one of the first group trips. That was down in Tennessee. That was really cool.
Yeah.
Here most recently we went out east, went out to West Virginia and Virginia. That was a fun trip.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that was the other one that I was gonna say that was one of my favorites, which again, like, I think because of the simplicity of the way that you plan them, it actually works really well, right? Like, that's, I'm not like, I don't know enough about it, but just the fact, like, when you told me, like, I just went on some forums and like asked questions of people in the area and they gave me some cool spots, like that worked out perfectly. And it was great to be flexible.
Yeah, and I try not to get too, like, strict into it. Like, right, honestly, if I'm doing something real serious, like if I were taking my kids with me or my wife or something like that, then
yeah,
I would probably dig into it a little bit more. But if it's just me and a couple of dudes going, it's like, okay, well, here's a few plots. Let's kind of hit these and then just kind of explore from there. That way we're not too dependent on this route and stuff. We're actually out enjoying the drive and stuff like that. Some people, I think they get way too into it. They got to have GPX files or –
yeah,
it's like they don't know how to drive or something. You know what I mean?
Right.
So I like to be used with it and just have some fun.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, and that's, I've told you before, but like, I appreciate that because like whenever we go, you are always the planner. You're always the one that says where we're going and everybody just follows you naturally. Right. Cause you got a plan and you've made those trips, but like, it would be a totally different trip if we didn't have that. Right. So I appreciate it when you do it.
No problem.
And it makes it a lot of fun. So yeah, cool. All right.
Oh,
okay. And cut there because the whiteboard just fell down and scared the shit out of me. All right. And we're back. Okay. So yeah, so that's Midwest Overlanders, right? So almost 5,000 folks in there. And I love it too. So, I mean, you know, people, anybody watching this, I'm sure you're familiar with Facebook groups and things like that. You know, I talk a lot about Lee Odom and overlandmeetup.com, which is a forum that's dedicated to overlanding, which is really cool. But Facebook has kind of taken over that space, right? Like the Facebook groups has kind of replaced forums, which there's good and bad in, right? Like you have to dig through a lot of content. It's not really well organized just because of the nature of Facebook, but it's immediate, right? Forums is Facebook groups. What do you kind of think? Like, what do you prefer and why? That's curveball for you.
Honestly, my preference is actually forums.
Yeah.
But sadly, like you mentioned, they're pretty much dead. And Facebook's kind of the place to go because it's immediate gratification. You know, you could post something, and honestly, most of the time, in a matter of seconds, you'll get at least one reply. And I think that's kind of what people like about it, and the simple fact that they have an app. People are on their phones all the times. Like even Tapatalk, like it works, but like I hate using it. It's really just kind of cumbersome.
Right.
So and then you have Messenger and stuff like that, which works really well for setting up groups and trips and stuff like that. So as much as I hate Facebook, it's like a catch 22. You almost have to use it these days for stuff like this. Right.
Yeah. Well, that's, and in talking to Lee and spending a bunch of time on Overland Meetup, I like that he's actually built it in a way where it has like a feed, kind of like Facebook, but the only problem with it right now is there aren't enough people on it, right? So like if he can hit that critical mass where he's got 1,000, 2,000, 5,000 people on there, I think it could get to that point where it's like immediate, and he also has notifications turned on. So that's why I like that for him. But yeah, you're right. Like, but I mean, like, I'm on this all day long, and I have notifications popping up on my phone from the 20 different overlanding groups I'm in.
And in the early days, we actually, when I ran I mean, back in the day, I had like the website, the web store, and I had actually started working on a forum and everything for it. And it was just one of those things, like there wasn't hardly any traffic. And at that point, it's like, okay, where do you cut your losses? And is my time worth this investment?
And
for me at the time, it wasn't.
Yeah. Well, and that's, Facebook makes it so easy that it's kind of tough to ignore, right? Like it's, to the point, if you're strapped for time, you can just go on here and take 10 minutes and make a page.
Exactly.
And share it in a couple places and you got people. So very cool. So yeah, so that's Midwest Overlanders. Anything else you want to touch on that?
No, I think it's just one of those things that it's a group of a lot of people. There's a lot of banter between people. You got your brand loyalists and all that, but it's one of those things that we like everything. I mean, you know, I own Chevys, I own Fords, I own Toyotas, I've owned Nissans, I own a Jeep. So it's it's not that like I love one thing over the other. And but you have the, you have those people in every group. I mean, almost 5,000 people. You can't please everybody.
Yeah, that's true. And it's, you know, it's interesting though on Overlanders for the size of it, either you guys do like are so fast with your moderation or it's just not needed a whole lot. Like, I don't feel like I see a whole lot of like stupid shit all the time.
We go through phases.
Yeah.
Like there has been times like when I'm like, okay, I'm done with this. Like I'm so over these people. And I have to say in the 5 years I've been here, I've personally never actually kicked anybody out or blocked anybody in the group. Some of our moderators have, because some people have just been real douchebags, to be quite honest with you. But we got a great team. I mean, we've got a few admins, we've got a few moderators, and it's almost seamless these days.
Yeah, I never see it at all. I never see it. Like, there's in the big group Overlanding USA, there's been like a rash of like just horrible spam, like click the link below to get your setup and making 20 grand a month kind of stuff. And it's been so prevalent that people are like posting memes about not again. And like, I mean, it's like just constant. Yeah. But over here, I mean, you know, they have 11,000 ish members, but I mean, you're still half that, which is still a ton of people. And like, I never see anything like that over here ever.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, we have our moment. I mean, we don't really deal with the spam things. I think we take care of that real quick.
Yeah,
it's just sometimes catching some of the people who are just like straight up D-bags to people.
Yeah,
you know, some of those brand loyalists that like take it to a next level of extreme. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. No, I totally get that. Yeah, that's pretty prevalent everywhere. I feel like but I mean, it's again, you guys just do a good job. Like, it just gets covered up and just disappears. I feel like, not covered up, but it gets like deleted, and if it's inappropriate, it's gone.
Yeah, and it took us a couple of years to kind of get into a flow of it, but I think anymore it's like we used to like send each other like, hey, what do you think about this thread? Should we take care of this or whatever?
Yeah.
And we like the mod and admin team now, we don't even like hardly ever talk to each other. Like we just do it.
Get rid of it. Yeah. That's awesome. So and then you've got off road, which is a little bit smaller group, but a little bit more specific, right? Like
So off-roading. This was kind of my way of, so many people would post up in Midwest Overlanders and be like, hey, you know, I'm going to the Badlands, which is the local off-road park.
Sure.
Or, you know, I'm going to go to this off-road park. You know, who wants to come out and do an overland trip to this off-road park? And it's like, you know, that's a different ball game. You know, that's not overlanding. That's not what overlanding is, you know? And I'm one of those guys. I love going to the off-road park like that. Yeah. It's actually easier for me. I've got three toddlers. So
right
at this point in my life, it's easier for me for a weekend or even a day trip to go to an off-road park and hang out with a bunch of buddies than it is to go on a week-long trip camping out in the woods. So I created this, and I mean, right now we're pretty much going out once a month, which has worked out really, really well, because otherwise I don't have that time with my wife's schedule and the three toddlers. My daughter's in preschool now, so like I don't have the time to go out and camp, you know, like every month like I used to or like I want to.
Right.
Where this, you know, I can go out for a day and still have a lot of fun. So,
yeah,
this group is basically just kind of, you know, there's still the crossovers and stuff like that. Like, people want to go up to Manistee and sure, do you call that overlanding? Do you call it off-roading? What do you call it?
Right.
I mean, in my opinion, if you're just going up there and you're getting dirty for a day, you know, that's off-roading. So that would go into the Midwest off-road group. If you're going out for a week into the wilderness and camping by yourself with nothing else, that's more of an overlanding trip. So that goes with the overlanding group. So
yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, I like it too. And I've kind of pulled away from off, like when I first got my truck, it wasn't hardly modified for overlanding at all. But now that it's got like the drawer system in the back, like it's really well built.
Yeah.
But I still think about some of the times I've smashed a diff on a rock or like done something where I'm like, you know what? I don't know if that wooden drawer system would really hold up really well smashing into things like that. So
you might be more than
yeah. I mean, I think it'd be okay. It'd be all right. It's not bad. I gotta replace my rear leaf pack because now I'm starting to get so much sag with all the extra weight that I think I've lost like an inch and a half in my lift in the rear. So
but like my buddy Mark, he has a newer F-150.
Oh yeah.
And he's got it set up pretty well for overlanding. You know, he's got the rack, the rooftop tent, the whole nine yards. But he did a trip on the Twat last year with our friend Zach Barrow. Okay. And they went through there, and he did a lot of damage to his truck. And his really? This is a 2019 or 2000. Yeah, it's 2019 F-150, ooh. I believe.
Yeah.
And he's done a lot of damage. And he's actually had a new engine put in the truck. Oh, so geez. he kind of got to the point where he was like, okay, I need to chill out on this stuff. And he bought a side by side, and he's been taking the side by side out with us on these trips. And it's still a way for him and I to get together and
yeah,
go and have some fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, there's a guy that follows me. I think he's called UTV Addict, and he's probably watching this, but he literally goes overlanding in a side-by-side.
Does he run the UTV overlanding group?
I don't know.
Maybe. Yeah, there's a guy in Midwest Overlanders that posts every once in a while. He's actually in or runs a UTV overlanding group.
Huh. Interesting. If you're watching this UTV Addict guy, post up in the comments and tell us if you run that group. But yeah, he's commented on a few of mine, and he said like that he wherever whatever state he's in, they're legal for road use. I don't know if they are here or not.
So they are. Yeah. It's mainly in southern Indiana. It's predominantly only on county road use, so you can't get on like the highway and stuff like that.
You're right.
But yeah, I mean there's quite a few counties here in Indiana where you can do that as well.
Okay. Yeah. So that's what he does. And I just think that there's something really cool about that because it's just such a small footprint. And if you can pack appropriately, like it can do so much more than a lot of full size vehicles. So.
Oh yeah. I mean, when I take my side by side off road, like it's a little billy goat, man. It'll climb up things at Haspen Acres, which Haspen is pretty intense at times.
Yeah.
And, yeah. And it goes through that stuff like none other. It's quite amazing.
Yeah. That's awesome. Cool. All right. So that's off-road. When are you getting these new stickers? Do you have them now? Oh, you got them.
Yeah.
I didn't see that. Yeah, look at that.
Got them. We actually, yesterday was the first event we had where I had them out. So the whole deal with that is you come out to an off-road trip with us and you get one.
Yeah.
Part of the deal.
And tell them the story of the Blackbeard guy, like where that came from. Because that'll get us into your rig a little bit too. So we're jumping ahead. But
yeah. So I have I've got a 1983 K5 Blazer. And the previous owner had this infatuation with pirates, I guess.
Okay.
So it had a license plate on it, you know, standard vanity plate with like a pirate and the skulls and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Then on the inside of it, so the part that's a hard roof or the back half is a convertible. The part that's a hard roof, like the whole roof line is just this huge, giant pirate skull flag put on the headliner. And when I got it, my three-year-old, she was two at the time, and She called it the Blackbeard ship. So
that's fun.
This whole pirate theme going on. So
that's awesome. I love it. Yeah. Oh, there it is. There's a picture of it.
there's small.
Yeah. It's like a small truck.
It's real small. It's on, you know, 42s and 1-ton axles.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's my buddy Jeff from P&P Engineering there.
Yeah. Look at this human next to it. Yeah. Jeff. Oh my God. Yeah. That thing's a monster, dude.
Yes, it is.
That's amazing.
It is
all right.
My monster truck, and I love it.
It is like a monster truck. Yeah. So we'll get into how many vehicles you have here in a second. Before we get there, the last thing I had sort of pulled up here was classifieds, which I think this is one of my favorite places to go. Just because, like, I don't, you know, I'm budget minded. I don't like to spend, if I can spend a little bit less money and buy something used, like, that doesn't bother me a bit because then I can buy more stuff with the money that I saved.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
And there's some cool stuff on here, too.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm constantly, well, I mean, you know, I'm dealing with 30 and up to 50 year old trucks that I own personally. So, you know, I mean, there's besides aftermarket stuff, there's not a whole lot of new stuff going around for those. So I'm constantly buying old used stuff, you know, parts that are 30, 40, 50 years old.
Yeah.
And then hopefully I get him for a fair price and I can go through and rebuild what needs rebuilt and go from there. But
yeah,
basically I got tired of kind of what you're talking about earlier with the spam and stuff. In the early days, it's like everybody's supposed to know, oh, I got this for sale, I got this for sale. It's like, okay, this is getting repetitive. We're having like 20 plus posts a day of people selling stuff.
Yeah.
And it's like getting mixed up in the feed and the conversation and stuff like that. So
yeah.
I created this classifieds page and I just want people to go there. They could sell anything that's remotely vehicle, off-road, overland, camping, stuff like that. Yeah. Every once in a while, we'll get people in there selling some like really weird stuff that has nothing to do with any of it. We have to moderate that, but it's a pretty chill group.
Yeah. Yeah. I love just going through it and looking at it just because you never know what you're going to see. But I mean, there's, you know, for those of you watching, if you're in the Midwest and you're like, I want to jump into overlanding and I need a full rig, like there's a ton of people just selling like built trucks in here.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's pretty sweet. They could save you a ton of money versus having to build it yourself. And then you could just customize it from there. But like, here's, yeah, it's pretty cool. There's a ton of cool stuff. There you go. Doors for a Chevy Express.
Yeah. For your full size van, guys.
Yeah. And you got everything in here. You got a privacy tent for pooping.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of the stuff that you'll find in this group, it's like something like what exactly, like in the standard marketplace, what do you search for to find this type of stuff? It gets a little tricky when you're just looking at the marketplace, but.
Yeah.
When you got a classified group that's like dedicated to this kind of stuff, it's a lot easier to find stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Like there's a 2015 Toyota Tacoma TRD Sport built up, bumpers, spare tire carrier in the rear, already built. That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. Classifieds is dangerous for me.
Yeah. I know it is.
I try to stay away.
let's go to your vehicles. Should I just go to your page or how do we look at all these vehicles?
I don't know. I don't even know.
God, I should have prepped that. I didn't even think about it. You've got so many vehicles. We should have had them pre-pulled up.
So you already saw my K5.
Yeah.
That's my 83. It's kind of my baby. It's more of a dedicated off-road trail rig. It's technically street legal. It's probably really should never be on the street. and then most recently, I picked up a 1969 Jeepster Commando. There it is.
That's yours, isn't it? That's yours, right?
Yep, that's my 4Runner. So that's my 99 4Runner. That's my 4Runner Limited.
Where's that Jeep? There it is.
There's a picture of both of those together.
Yeah. So
those are my two main current rigs, I would say. It's a 1969 Jeepster Commando that's heavily modified. It's had like 20 inches taken out of the wheelbase.
Jeez.
So it's different because Jeepster Commandos don't have a postal body, and this had a postal body swapped onto it. So it's completely different than any Jeepster Commando you'll see out there.
That's awesome.
I've actually had a lot of people argue with me that it's actually a postal Jeep with a Jeepster front end swapped on. It's not. The frame's been cut. It's been heavily modified. It's a Commando.
Yeah.
And
you were telling me earlier, too, that it's actually pretty nice that it has that postal body because you can pop the doors open and they'll stay open. So you can have an open door experience without taking the doors off.
Yep. And the doors, it's a funny story. Like I've been eyeballing this thing for 2 years.
Wow.
It's been sitting at this guy's house next to a park that we frequent with our kids.
Huh.
The only thing you could ever see was the back half of it from a distance, right? It wasn't something that I could see real close. So for the longest time, I was like, is that an FJ40? Like, is that an old, what is that? Because postal Jeeps weren't four wheel drive. They were only two wheel drive.
Yeah.
I was like, what is that? Like, it does not look like an FJ40, but it doesn't look like a postal Jeep, so I don't know what it is.
Right.
And then a few weeks ago, scouring the marketplace like I do, I see this thing pop up, and I was like, oh, my God, that's it. Like, that's the vehicle, and it's a Jeep. And it was only a mile and a half down the road, and I begged my wife for, like, 3 days. And she finally was just like, okay, shut up, go get it. And I did. So.
Yeah. So that's since I've known you, you've had, so in 4 years, 4.5 years, you had the Tundra, right? Brand new TRD Pro Tundra.
Kind of. Yeah. That's what kicked us off. It's what got us into the whole overlanding build.
Yeah. And then that, unfortunately, not to bring up sad feelings, but that got totaled. Somebody hit you.
Yep. That got totaled last fall. Like 2 weeks, I think, after that West Virginia trip.
Yeah.
So I at least got one last good trip in. So,
yeah. That was good. And your wife has a brand new. Well, what is it? 2018, 19 4Runner.
It's a 2016. It was a match. it was matching to my truck. We bought it.
Okay. Side. Yeah.
So it's a TRD Pro 4Runner.
Yep. And then you had the Tahoe, right?
The Yukon. I had that Yukon.
Yukon, yeah.
Yep. That was kind of a spur of the moment deal. did some trading for that. It wasn't anything I was like looking for or anything, but I had stuff I was looking to get rid of. And a guy we know through here, he wanted the stuff that I had, so we did some trading there. So I got a 94 Yukon that I'm really sad that I got rid of that. I loved that vehicle.
It was clean. That was Andrew's, right?
Yeah. Rust-free, and that's kind of unheard of here in the Midwest, so.
Yeah. So then what else did you, because you had a ton of stuff.
I mean, I've had a bunch of random things that, like, I bought for, like, specific projects or.
You got a Land Rover for a minute?
Yeah, so, like, I bought a 89 F-350 specifically for the axles. I bought that for the axles to put underneath the Yukon. I had that Land Rover. I had a Jeep Grand Cherokee ZJ.
Yeah, that's right.
Vehicle-wise, that may have been it. Besides my 4Runner, I've got this 99 4Runner that I picked up.
Yeah, I like that thing.
I mean, I think that's it. Like, it's not been that much. I mean, people think it is because, I mean, I went through a few within, like, the last year.
Yeah.
But some of those things, like, I bought the Jeep specifically for a gambler. Didn't work out, so I got rid of it. I bought that F-350 specifically for the axles, and then I parted the rest of that out, kept the axles. So stuff like that. It's like I bought that truck, the 89 F-350 for $2,000 when the axles alone were going for close to that. So I bought the truck, it was a running truck, and I just parted the rest of it out. So, and I actually ended up making money back on it.
That's sweet. That's the way to do it. You're flipping them, you know, it's a profit center for you.
Yeah. And that Rover, that was another gambler, a failed gambler project.
Yeah. You should probably skip past the porn. there's a lot of fun to be had in these groups, guys. Go check these groups out for sure. Specifically if you're in the Midwest. So that's cool. So you've had a bunch of rigs. I mean, you know, to your point, it's not maybe as many. I think it's the short amount of time that you keep each that makes it seem like they go so fast or you have so many.
If people have to realize, I've actually had this conversation with a few people, they don't realize that I get rid of things. Like when I get something new, I always get rid of something.
Right.
And people think I have like 20 vehicles sitting in my garage or something. That's not the case. Like, if you ever see me bring home another vehicle, it's usually because I've gotten rid of something or I am
selling. Yeah. Yeah.
But yeah. It's, yeah.
Tell my wife that because she doesn't believe me. I have two cars now and she's like, we're not. And I want to get a third one.
And another thing most people have to realize is like this, a lot of the stuff I'm buying is junk. It's cheap junk. Like I'm not going out and buying like $15,000, $30,000 vehicles. Like,
yeah.
I'm buying some cheap junk because the stuff I'm doing to them is not worthy of having a nice vehicle. So.
Right. Yeah, that's what I keep trying to tell my wife is like, when I first got into Nissans, then I bought a 350Z and it was like 2 years old with like 16,000 miles and I spent like $30,000 on that thing. I was like fresh out of college kid, like making like $30,000 a year. Yep. And I was just like, yeah, I can pay $600 a month for a car.
Sure.
No problem. But then since then, like the Xterra was like $7,000 and then I paid that off before I even bought the Infiniti. And then the Infiniti's like 5 years old and it was used and I got a great deal on it. You know, like I'm less money in both those cars put together, even with all the mods and everything, than I was in that Z stock.
Yep, for sure.
So that's, I keep trying to remind her that, but she's just like, yeah, but you got to move. You have to shuffle cars all the time to get stuff in and out of the garage. And that's her problem with it. If we had a 3-car garage, I'd be fine.
Well, and I did the whole thing where I bought a brand new truck and I took that brand new expensive truck off-roading and stopped it.
Yes, you did.
I did it, and we bought it for that purpose, and we were fine with it. So now that we've been through that, and I got my new replacement truck, like, my new truck, like, the most off-roading it's ever going to do is probably the parking lot at Haspen.
Right. Right.
Like, I'm not doing it again. Like, I'll stick with old $5,000 RLS.
Yeah, right.
Go out and
there's no point.
Crap at them and have fun.
Yeah. I mean, I say that there are some people that like to do that. And if you have the money, do it. Like, I don't have a problem with it. I just personally, I can't afford to do it.
Well,
I would feel so bad if I smashed a new truck.
I'm in a position where I could afford it, but why would I?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because oh man, I don't know. It's rough. Like you honestly have more fun when you're wheeling something that's like a $2,000-$3,000 vehicle than you are a $1,000 truck, because I can take that $2,000 vehicle. If I put it into the side of the tree, whatever, keep going.
Yeah.
My buddy's actually out in Pennsylvania off-roading today, and he's got a new Tundra. And he slid into the side of the tree, and his rear door is completely caved in. And I'm just like, and that's his daily driver too. And he relies on that. He travels across the country and stuff. It's like, God, man, that's hard.
Yeah, that sucks. Well, and like, especially if you know how to work on vehicles and stuff, even just a little bit, like I'm no mechanic or anything, but I can do basic stuff. But like, you could find all day long, you could find like a cool old, well, TJs are a little more, but like you could find an old XJ that's really well modified and built for off-roading for $3,000 to $5,000 all day long.
Oh yeah.
You know? And like, sure. I mean, lockers and 6-inch lift and everything done to it for cheap. And you could get, you know, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 years out of that easy if you don't just destroy it, you know? And
you would be amazed at how much fun you can have with a damn near bone stock $500 XJ.
Yeah.
Well, and that goes for if you're off-roading or if you're taking out on overland trips, like,
yeah,
you don't have to have the latest and greatest, and you don't have to have a brand new vehicle. It's nice having a new vehicle, you know, in your mind. It's almost a false sense of hope that you have this brand new reliable vehicle and that you're never going to break down and stuff like that. And the reality of it is it's going to happen.
Yeah.
When we went out to Utah and we were going through Canyonlands and going through the White Rim Trail, like, I hit a rock and I blew out my brand new TRD Pro special shock in the rear. And obviously while that wasn't something that was going to leave me on the side of the road, like, that sucked. Like, that was an expensive shock. And then when I finally got home, I called Toyota for a replacement and they're like, oh yeah, this is like a $1,800 shock. I was like, nope, not going to do that. We'll go aftermarket.
Yeah. God. Yeah. That's crazy. Well, yeah. And you're right. Like, that's the first four-wheel drive I ever had was a 2000 XJ Cherokee Sport. And it had the Dana 30 up front and the Chrysler 8 1/4 in the rear, totally open diffs, nothing. And the very first time I ever went to Haspen, I was still bone stock. I had a hitch on it. That's all I had. And I put one of those little receivers in the back with a D-ring. That was all that I had, and like the stock hook or whatever on the front. And we went out there in like February or March, and it was like a sloppy mess. Like, we left, you know how you leave the parking lot and there's that like open field and then all the paths that go into the trees?
Yep.
We never got out of the field. We never got through the field. Like, we spent the whole day in the field, and my stock XJ had no, probably because it was stock and it just had little tiny pizza cutters on it, basically. Yep. Like, I went right through it and I stayed out of the dumb stuff. Another guy in an XJ literally slid all the way down into the trees. There was a guy in a big lifted full-size Ram with like 35s on it. He got stuck 10 different times and had to get pulled out. Like, we literally spent the whole day just pulling people out of that field trying to get back to the parking lot.
Yeah.
It was the whole day.
Yeah.
But my whole Jeep was like just covered in mud. You couldn't even tell it was a Jeep. It was just a slab of mud after that day. But I never got stuck in that thing. Never.
I tell you what, though, you know, extra yoders get made fun of a lot and they
yeah,
get a lot of flack,
we did.
Honestly, like, those dudes have some of the most fun ever. Like, when you're taking out like a sub-$1,000 four wheel drive that does decently well, even in stock form, and you don't care about it, man, I mean, that's just a recipe for fun.
Yeah. 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 I remember going to Badlands one time with a buddy of mine, and this was before I'd even met you. Yeah. Because that would have been 8, 9 years ago, probably. We went out there and there was all these like TJ owners. It was all TJs and me in my Cherokee. And at that time I had a 3-inch rough country lift on it and like 31s. And like, this one guy was like on the CB all the time. What's that wagon doing? Get him out of the way. Blah, blah, blah. Just calling me the wagon, the wagon, the wagon over and over again. And then we hit a point where we were on some trail and he got stuck. And I drove up around him. I bypassed him and I got in front of him and I hooked up a tow strap and I had to pull him out. And I was like, I got on the radio. I was like, the wagon just pulled out the TJ, guys. The wagon got it. Don't worry. He's out.
Well, that's
like, that's aggravating.
Like Toyotas too. Like, when I was in my Tundra, you know, all the Tacoma and all the 4Runner guys, oh, it's too big. You can't do any off-road stuff with it.
Yeah.
Just like, watch me.
Yeah. Well, like that West Virginia trip, like that one really rocky sort of stepped up hill that we went up.
Yeah.
You had no problem with that. I was like, I was a ways behind you guys. And I'm like, I looked at it and I was like, oh my God. like, can I even, do I have enough clearance to do that? And I saw your truck go straight up and I'm like, well, I have to do it now. Like, I can't.
And I did that. I did that entire trip in two-wheel drive.
Put mine in four low for that. Just because I was like, I don't know about this.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I mean, my 4Runner is open disc. I don't have lockers. And I mean, I'm not trying to brag or anything because I'm not a pro off-roader by any means whatsoever. And even with the open disc in that 4Runner, like, I've outwheeled some people that have rear lockers in their Toyotas.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people, I feel like, just rely, and you kind of mentioned this earlier, but they just rely on their, you know, their tech and their mods and stuff. And it's like, I feel like way too many don't understand throttle modulation, right? Like, they're just on or off. It's an on-off switch. And I'm like, no, you got to maintain momentum going up this hill, or, you know, hit it with a little speed and then just carry it through. Or, but nobody does that.
But like my wife's 4Runner, it has all the fancy, I don't even know what Toyota calls them, like the sand mode and all crap. And we've never even used it. And I don't ever plan on it. Like in my Tundra, all the traction control stuff, it's like when I went off roading, that was one of the first things that I turned off.
Turn it off, right?
Yeah. I don't want any of that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. I've wheeled with you. I've seen it. You're a pretty good driver. Cool. So, all right. So that's that. We talked about mods. We talked about trips. What is, if you had to pick one trip, and you've been to a lot of places, you've been to Moab, West Virginia, the Twat, Manistee, you know, DBB, Daniel Boone Byway, is that a thing, right?
Yeah.
Red River Gorge, all that stuff. Like, what would you say is your favorite trip? What's the best place you've ever been?
That's hard. I will say probably Utah. Yeah. Utah is amazing. There's so much to see. Like, we spent 4 days on this trail out there and we didn't see anything. Like, cool. It's that huge out there. There's so much to see.
Yeah.
That said, Kentucky is absolutely beautiful.
Yeah.
Wet Western Kentucky, land between the lakes and all that.
Yeah.
In my opinion, it's a must see. Going down to Red River Gorge, hitting part of the Kentucky Adventure Trail.
Yeah.
Absolute must see. I've unfortunately only been to Michigan the one time during the winter trip.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
It was fun.
I would really like to go back during like spring or late fall.
Yeah.
We've actually been up to Michigan quite a few times, but not in the camping aspect. We used to go for every year, just staying, you know, with friends and whatnot. But
yeah,
I'd like to go back up there though. I think that could be a lot of fun. I've never been to the up. I've heard UP's awesome.
Yep. But I want to go to Drummond Island really bad.
Yeah. Right now, I would say probably definitely Utah, followed by anywhere in Kentucky. Kentucky's amazing.
I've got to get down to the Cat this year. Like, that's what I, because they actually have trails. You know, like, Hoosier National Forest is fine. And to your point, if you're going camping, like, it's great. You don't have to pay. It's dispersed. You can kind of pick a spot.
It's a couple hours away from all of this. It makes it for a good, quick weekend trip.
Yeah. And if you're okay with cold and you go in the winter, like, I've gone 2 or 3 times this year so far, and I see maybe 1 or 2 cars go by the entire time I'm there. Yep. Nobody's out there. So it is cool, but I want to hit more like challenging trails. I want to use a winch. I want to use my chainsaw. I want to like really get out and do it. So
I'm I think the first and second day of our West Virginia trip, like, that was perfect.
Yeah.
That was a lot of fun. That trail system was good. Yeah. The trail that we took through the state park was really cool.
That was amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Like when I heard this was going through a state park, I was like,
Yeah,
no, it was awesome. It was really cool.
So. Yeah. I loved it when we went past. So for those of you that, you know, haven't been there, which is probably a lot of you, you're going down like a paved road to like a scenic overlook. And there's like 100 people. There's like, we kept having to pull off the road and wait for like a Winnebago to go by us.
Yes.
And this whole time we're like, wait, we're going to a trail, but there's like Winnebagos coming out of here. And like, it's a 1-lane road. And so it was really annoying because we had to keep stopping. And then we get down to the scenic overlook part and there's like 20 cars parked. Like, they're blocking the trail because there's just so many cars everywhere, and they're giving us like the weirdest looks because we're in like muddy, like lifted vehicles with like,
we're like in the only 4-wheel drives there.
Right. And so all these people are looking at us, and again, they're blocking the trail, so we're like going off the road and giving them dirty looks because we can't get to the trail because they blocked it by parking illegally. And we're going past these people and they're like, where are these people going? We just go off the road. And it was, that trail was like, that by far was the most, I mean, it wasn't anything crazy, but it was just the different types of challenges, like the fact that, you know, you're dropping down and you've got to, you know, pick your line and do the smart thing going down some of those drop-offs and stuff. And then there were some little water crossings, a lot of muddy type of stuff. And then that one sort of stepped up rocky hill, if you will, like that was, it was a lot of fun, but it wasn't anything, to your point earlier, like that's going to like damage your vehicle if you're careful.
It was tight for a full size.
Yeah.
Like if you have a full size rig and you're taking it there, you're getting scratches, like no doubt. Yeah. Like if I was in my 4Runner, like it would have felt like I was just on a Sunday cruise or something. But I mean, yeah, that was a fun trail.
It was fun. Yeah. I have hours of like footage from my dash cam of just like, of just branches going down the side of the Xterra.
The one thing you got to be careful about, especially in Kentucky though, like when you're hitting the Daniel Boone, the backcountry byway, and part of those cat areas that's in Red River Gorge, they have a really great website or a Facebook page. So go to their Facebook page and give updates on trail conditions and stuff like that, because the weather plays a huge effect on those.
Right.
And a lot of times those trails are getting closed down because the weather's too bad. And yeah, they do a really good job about preventing too much corrosion and stuff like that to the trail system. So definitely go check that out before you just head down there. Like this is like pretty bad wet season right now. So like everybody will tell you like avoid the whole Red River Gorge area.
Yeah. No, that's great advice. That's a great.
I've been down there in August. That's awesome.
Yeah.
That was one of the first trips. That's actually the first trip we took when I first got my rock sliders on my Tundra. And I wanted them specifically for that trip because everybody told me, oh, you don't want to take a full size through here. Like you're going to screw it up. It's like, well, I got new mud terrains. Let me get my rock sliders and I'll go see for myself.
Yeah.
And I did. And me and my dad went through some trails down through there.
Yeah.
It was awesome. Trails that like, they call these Kentucky highways.
Yeah.
They're not highways. Like it's a mud trail.
Yeah.
Just big enough to fit a truck through the woods. Like you expect to hear banjos playing from the hills.
Right.
Like you're out there. Like it's crazy. And I love it. Yeah. It's stuff like that we don't see up here in Indiana. And I'm from Southern Indiana.
Yeah.
Where everywhere is Hoosier National Forest, and we've got some really good backcountry roads and stuff. Like,
we're
a bunch of hillbillies down there, so we got some good spots, but nothing like Kentucky.
Oh, yeah. And it's not that far away. Well, the cat proper is, like, a ways away.
Yeah, I think it's 900-mile loop all around.
Like 1,000, yeah.
I think they say it takes a good 4 to 5 days to do the whole thing.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, I think it's like 700 miles now. I think they've expanded it a little bit.
It's been a couple of years since I looked into it. But
parts
of the cat run through, you know, the Red River Gorge area. And
talk
about some good camping down there.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's awesome. The Ozarks, too. That's on my list for this year.
Yep.
I've heard amazing things about the Ozarks. Sort of the same. It strikes me as similar to the cat, where it's like some challenging, like rocky type stuff. You know, really unmaintained, like down trees everywhere and just like a lot of challenge to it. So
what I want to do is I want to finish, because the trail system that we did in West Virginia, we only did half of it.
Yeah.
So I want to finish it, because the second half that goes through George Washington National Park is supposed to be even more difficult.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah. Well, let me know if you.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the plan was to do the whole thing, but like,
yeah,
we had such a time constraint. We would have been on the road driving for like 12 hours a day and trying to find camps. I mean, that last night, trying to find that camp, or the second to last night.
Yeah.
We found that awesome campsite where the bear came and pooped right between our tents.
Right.
Do you remember that?
Oh yeah. Yeah. I took a picture of it.
But I mean, like that campsite, that took us a little bit to find.
Yeah.
That would have sucked if we tried to find that campsite in the dark.
Oh yeah. Yeah, that
we'd got there just right before, like maybe a half hour before it got dark outside.
Right.
And we got lucky. It was such an awesome campsite.
Yeah. Yeah, that's why I give you kudos for planning it all, because it's like, it's hard, man. You know, like it's not as everybody thinks, like you can just, oh, I'll just watch this YouTube video and I'll go do it. But it's like, unless the people that made that YouTube video are literally giving you like dropped pins to like put into your GPS, like it's not that easy. Like you got to do some research and planning and you know, sometimes people are using that campsite. Like, you're not the only one that's going to be there. I mean, I've gone to Hoosier National Forest a handful of times where I've got like 3 or 4 spots that I really like. And I'll go to one and it'll be 5 o'clock and someone's in it. And then it takes 20 minutes to get to this other one and someone's in that. And then it's dark. and 7 o'clock, and you're like, dang it, what am I going to do? Like, where am I going to camp? And you just pick anything at that point. And that changes your whole trip, right? Like, you have this one super dramatic, like, awesome, cool site, and you don't get it, and then you're camping 10 feet off a road, like, then that's, it changes the whole trip.
So. Yeah, and sometimes, like, when you're doing these trips, like, out of your comfort area where you don't know the area at all, like, sometimes you just can't find the spot.
Right.
It happens.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that was, I don't know that I've talked about this on other videos or not, but like, guys, you don't understand. So I was the only Verizon guy, I think, right? You guys are all like Sprint or AT&T or
AT&T,
something?
AT&T, yeah.
Yeah. So in West Virginia, apparently, Verizon's not a thing. Like, I literally for 4 days had no reception at all. Like, I had to get on Wi-Fi at McDonald's as we went through a little tiny small town to like send my wife a message to say, hey, you're not going to hear from me for the next 4 days.
Yeah.
Because I've got nothing. And that also means map. So like, I was like staring at like Cody's bumper the whole time, like, don't lose him. Because I'm like, if I lose him, like I would have to like drive around until I found a gas station and go in and ask for directions. Cause I had nothing.
Apparently I drive a little too fast too. Or so I'm told.
Yeah. That you and Adam both do that. Like, it's like, the very first time that we went, Adam was like leading us around, and he had a Tacoma at the time, and he's going like 40 on these gravel roads, sliding it sideways. And I was just like, I just bought this truck. I really don't want to wreck it. So that was, you guys aren't afraid of sliding your vehicles around. So yeah, cool. All right. Anything else? Any other projects you got going on? Any other vehicles that you're working on? Anything else you want to touch on so I don't take up your whole night?
No more vehicles right now.
That's good.
It will be later this year. We're gonna, me and a few buddies, we're actually gonna start our own little YouTube adventure.
Nice.
We're gonna do a cheap truck challenge.
That's cool.
And this is kind of inspiration from Dirt Every Day. Basically, it's like you go out, you set a budget. Our budget's gonna be $2,000. We're gonna buy a cheap four-wheel drive vehicle that we could take to the off-road parks, and take out camp and have fun like that. And then we're going to have a $2,000 modification budget. So total budget's $4,000 for this vehicle.
Okay.
How can we make the coolest possible four-wheel drive camping vehicle for $4,000?
That's
cool. And then we're going to have a set of challenges. We're probably going to go to Haspen.
Yeah.
And we're going to set up these challenges and courses and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And then at the end of it, we'll get rid of it and we'll have fun and we'll go out and drink some beers and camp.
Yeah.
You know, That's the one thing I like about Haspen Acres too, over a lot of the off-road parks, is that you can camp anywhere in the woods, anywhere in the entire park. It's like going to Hoosier National Forest and camping. Like, you can camp anywhere in the whole park. It's 800 acres of woods.
Yeah.
So it's not like Badlands where you got like this little open field that's a camp.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, no offense to Badlands because it's a great park, but yeah, the camping is literally a field.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, that's to be expected, but.
Yeah.
Aspen, you know, I mean, Haspen is not one of those places that I'm going to take my kids.
Right.
Or whatever, you know what I mean? Because people get a little wild there sometimes.
Yeah.
But if it's just me and a bunch of friends, we're going to have a fun time. Like, it's good.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, definitely keep me in the loop. I'm sure I'll see you posting about it on off-road and overlanders and everything. But if you guys start doing YouTube videos and stuff, let me know, because maybe we do another interview or something.
Meet my buddy Alex and then Kyle from P&P Engineering. So.
Okay, that's a good group.
We're going to record segments of each of our builds and stuff and put videos, like a video series up. So it'll be fun.
That sounds fun. Yeah, awesome. Well, cool. Thanks for sharing. Yeah, guys, like I said, so thank you, Cody, for being on the show. I've taken up almost all your night now, and you probably have kids to put in bed still. Or are they already in bed?
They're already in bed.
Well, that's good. Mine are I let my wife do that while we were doing this. I scheduled this for about bedtime, so I didn't have to help. Don't let her see this. I'm going to cut this out at the end. But yeah, thanks to Cody for being here. Definitely check out the things below. Check out his links. Go, if you're in the Midwest, definitely join Midwest Overlanders. Again, I've been in it for over 4 years now. It's awesome. There's tons of great information, tons of great people in there. People that, again, you may not even know them personally, but then like you take a trip and you get to be friends, right? You get to know those people. And it's really interesting too, just like in all the overlanding communities, like everybody's super willing to help. So there is another one that we didn't mention a whole lot, but there is a Midwest 4x4 recovery group too that Cody started. So like there is a whole place where you could just like offer up to help people if they get stuck, or if you get stuck, then you can ask for help and people will come and help you. So So yeah, so there's just tons of great information in these places. So definitely check out the links below. And thanks again to Cody, and thanks for you guys for watching the video. Definitely click subscribe below, click the like button if you like it, and comment below and let me know what forums you guys use, what groups you guys are in, and thanks for watching.
All right, guys, so that was it. Hope you enjoyed the interview. Like I said, Cody's a great dude, does a really good job of leading Midwest Overlanders. I've been on several trips with him, and he's an awesome leader of, you know, the different trips that we've taken. He's great at leading off-roading groups and stuff. So again, definitely check him out. Check out the description down below to find links to all of his stuff. And I really appreciate you guys stopping by. As always, you know, my podcast people are super loyal, and I really appreciate you guys. Same with YouTube, everybody out there. I really appreciate you guys coming by and watching my stuff. As the channel continues to grow, I want you guys to know that I'm going to be continuing to focus on budget-minded stuff, Xterra stuff, off-roading. It's a late night. Apparently, I am tired. Overlanding stuff. That's what I was trying to say. We're going to be doing some more of that, talking about more of that. So again, thank you guys for stopping by. Thank you for listening. If you're listening to this at the end, special kudos to you. Comment below and let me know that you heard this part and give me a hard time for messing up like 6 times in a row. So again, thanks. Appreciate you guys. We'll talk to you next week.